What's amazing is how he turned this void in my life into something positive. God has used all that to help me be a better father. My name's Steve Stone, and I've lived here in Morehead most of my life. I was born here, and I'm a grandfather now. We've had four grandkids, and have two children, Trevor and Tabitha. And I work here in the community. I work for the utility plant board as a drinking water treatment plant operator. My father deserted me when I was an infant, and I never had any contact with him at all. That left a void in my life, and sometimes it can be a little painful. I think maybe that sometimes there's a little misconception too, that after you get saved, that, you know, hey, everything's okay and everything's all right, there's no problems. But there's can be old hurts, and this is one where, like, if you've been deserted as a child, that's something you're still gonna have to deal with. Hold it up and give it to God, and He will help you, and He'll bring you through it, and it'll probably amaze you how He'll take that and He'll turn it into something positive for you. The Lord saved me just before Tabitha was born. I remember at that time I just felt Him instill within me a determination that my children would not know that fatherless void in their lives, that I'd always be there for them. And I'm still there for them today. And I think as a father, one of the most important things you can do is be involved with your children. You know, if they're playing sports or they're, no matter what they're doing, if you're involved. And over the years between Tabitha and Trevor, I mean, I've always worked shift work, so there's been a few little things I've missed, but, you know, not very many. You could probably count on one hand the birthday parties or the sports events or whatever they were doing that I missed because I absolutely had to work. But I think that's really important, to always be there and support them, to be there to give them direction. I'll never forget, we were right here in this room and Trevor come in that day and he said, I think the Lord called me to the ministry. Even if you're not the biological father of the child, your stepdad, even grandfathers, I know families adopt, but it just takes someone with the courage to step in there and fill that void in that child's life. And it always brings a smile to me when I see that happening. You know, there's been times when Tabitha or Trevor, even today, they'll call me, want me to do something, and, you know, maybe I won't be feeling the greatest or whatever, and I'll kind of hesitate. But then the thought always comes back to me, now, wait a minute, I didn't have anybody to call on. And that encourages me to continue to be there and do things for them as much as I can, because the way they were raised in the church, were raised as a family, we help each other out. I think it's awesome that even as old as they are now, they still call and depend on me as much as they do. And if you're a father that's not really spending that much time with your kids, really think about what's important here, what the priorities are. When they get older, they're not gonna remember the things that you wish you could have done better or the mistakes maybe you made. They're gonna remember the good times. And a lot of that stuff that I think back on, wish I could have done better, they've forgotten about. And so it's just important to be there for them and be there with them, and you'll build that relationship that'll last a lifetime. Our grandson Roman had brain surgery to remove a mass from his brain, and he's doing really well, and Debbie's been keeping some during the day. And I came home from work one night. Roman had been here, and he'd left a really big mess in the living room. In times before, to walk in from work and see that, it might have upset me. It would have upset me a little bit. But I looked at it, and I just smiled. And I said, wow, that's awesome that he can run and play and make a mess like that. So when it comes to our children, our grandchildren, sometimes I think we just need to really look at our priorities and really see what is priority. So I would encourage you, if you've been raised without a father, turn that over to God, and He'll bring you through that. He'll show you how to come through that. In my life, He's put godly men all around me. There's nowhere I can't turn and get godly wisdom. I would encourage you to do that. Allow God to fill that void in your life. So it's something I don't know that you can ever really get over when that happens. But the good news is for me that God has used all that to help me be a better father. And that far outweighs any of the pain or discomfort I've had.
You know, what a story. What a story. Yeah, go ahead. You know, if you're here visiting with us this morning, we're so glad you're here. If you're watching online, we're so glad you tuned in to us. But maybe that's your story. Maybe you know what it's like to be raised in a home fatherless, you know, and I know that with everything within me that the Lord has brought you here today to speak a word into your heart and to encourage you. Maybe your dad was there, but maybe it was a little bit of absent. Maybe this wasn't around. Either way it goes, you know, I believe that the Lord has brought you here or tuned you in online for a specific reason. He has a word he wants to speak to you, an encouragement to you. And today we're going to talk about, yes, it's Father's Day and the message. I'm going to talk to dads, but I promise you, no matter if you're a dad or not, this is going to apply to your life as well. So come on, let's ask God to do something great this morning. Let's just ask him to speak to our hearts and change our perspective that changes our lives and live for him. Come on, Father, thank you so much for your love and your grace and your mercy that's new every single day. God, we're so glad that you are our Father and that our hope and our faith is placed in you, Jesus, who loves us unconditionally. And God, I'm so excited about today that I pray that you would just encourage dad and lift up dads to help us believe that the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. No matter what's happened in the past, today's a new day. And with your son, Jesus, we get to start over. So we're going to believe that. We're going to declare that. We're going to have fun this morning. We believe, God, that you are in this place. So do what you do best, God, and that is to change our hearts, open our eyes that we may see Jesus. For if we will see Jesus this morning, we will never be the same. For it's in his name that we ask and we pray. Come on now, and everybody say amen and amen. Look at the person beside you. Say, I'm glad you're here today. Tell them. Say, I am glad you are here today. Look back at them and say, I'm going to win the grill. I'm going to win that grill. Yes, we are so glad that you are here. Dads especially, get you a donut. They are fat-free, no calories. They are so good, right? Dads is like, we ain't gonna care about that, right? We're like, I don't know how fattening. Give me that donut. I want to eat that donut. But anyway, we are so glad you're here. How many of you know the Stone family in the video? You know the Stone family. If you know the Stone family, cool, that's all right. That's all right, five of you, that's great. Let me tell you something about the Stone family. They are weird. That's a weird family. I mean, really, really weird. I mean, they are a weird group of people. I mean, Steve, he's weird. I'm gonna talk about him in a minute. His son, Trevor, he's really weird. He's on staff here. He's so weird. We put him on staff. I mean, he's crazy. Tabitha, oh my goodness. I mean, she's just like, she's really weird. I mean, really. She threatened us if we show pictures of her back in the day with her hair all did like that, she's gonna hurt us. So you only got a few of her. She's weird. Hurt the mom, Debbie. Oh my God. She's like believing crazy, like crazy weird. And now some of you are going, Pastor, I can't believe you call someone weird. But I don't mean weird in a mean way. The old King James Bible says as Christians we're a peculiar bunch of people, that we're supposed to be weird, that we're supposed to be different from this world. And I'm telling you what, they are a different kind of family, a weird family in a good way. Especially like Steve. Y'all know Steve, he's sharing his story. He don't really share that story much. This is one of the first time like publicly he gets to share that story. Steve's weird. I mean, he is a weird, weird dude. And let me tell you, it is weird for a dad to fall in love with Jesus and bring their kids and family to church every Sunday. That's weird. That is weird. It's weird for a dad to say no to work and being busy all the time to saying yes to their kids. That, my friend, is weird. It is weird to work 40 and 50 and 60 hours a week, but you get up on Sunday morning and you don't sleep in and you don't take that day. You come and just serve the house of God like he does every single Sunday. We're doing the sound for us back there. That is weird. But one of the weirdest things about Steve Stone is this. He's the only guy I know that was born with a mustache. Can I get a witness? Right, Aunt Candy? That's right. I'm telling you what, I mean, born with a stash. I mean, that's a man right there. That's crazy. Love you, Steve. You're weird. And today I want to challenge you dads to become a weird dad. Now, I know what some of you kids are thinking. My dad's already weird. He's old. You know what I'm saying? He's weird. But I'm telling you, I'm talking about in a cool way weird. I'm talking about in a godly way weird. If we're going to be weird dads that become strong dads to do everything that God's called us to do. And listen, it's never too late. It's never too late, whether your kid is 5-year-old or 55-year-old, it's never too late to be the dad that God has called you to be. So I want to encourage you and lift you up today, dads, and say, let's go and be the dad that God's called us to be. Now, I know there's no perfect dad, right? We make mistakes. Some of you made big mistakes, little mistakes, it doesn't matter. Guess what? Today's a new day, and it's never too late. As long as God's given you breath, the best is yet to come, and God wants to use you greatly in your kid's life, or he would already take you on to be in heaven. So God's got a purpose and plan for you. So let's go back to the beginning, all the way back to Genesis chapter 6. So open up your Bibles, go with me to Genesis chapter 6, because today I'm going to talk about how to be a weird family. Look at the person sitting beside, say, you're weird. Tell them, you are weird. And like, honey, he's talking to you. He is talking to you. And dad, if we're going to be a weird family, it starts with us. Because I believe a weird dad, a strong dad, has the potential to change their family tree. I'm going to show you that just here in this passage. Now, we're in this series called Built Strong. This is a family series. And if we're going to have a strong family, we've got to have a strong foundation. And I believe a strong foundation begins with a strong marriage. And if you're having marital issues, or if your marriage is great, but hey, you can get a little better, I encourage you to go back and watch week one, because we talked about how do we have a strong marriage together. If we're going to have a strong family, we got to be strong parents. Now, listen, there's all kinds of different things when it comes to parenting, but last week we talked about how to be strong parents, right? How to parent our kid, no matter if they're 5 or if they're 55. Last Sunday night, yeah, it was we had 95 kids at our child dedication. 95 kids, y'all. It was crazy. Snot was going everywhere. Diapers were everywhere. I mean, I had 300 people packed this place out, but I loved it, right? Could you imagine all those families and those kids come up and be dedicated to the Lord? We can change a city. Are you kidding me? The next generation to come. So we love kids. We believe it starts with also strong parenting. And today I want to talk to you about being a strong dad. What does a strong dad do? What's that kind of that weird dad, strong dad look like? And we're going to look at a guy in the Bible named Noah. Now, some of you have heard of Noah, right? Noah and the flood, Noah and the ark, Noah and the rainbow, the two pairs of animals and all that stuff. You heard the story about Noah. But not most people know Noah as a dad. Noah as the family man. We're reminded of the ark. He's a carpenter. He's a builder. He builds a boat. That's awesome. It rains. It floods. There's a rainbow. But what about Noah the dad? And that's what I want to focus on today. And this helps us to take a little different perspective of this passage that a little bit maybe unfamiliar when it comes to being a strong dad or a weird dad. So if you're ready to get started, say, let's go. All right, here we go. Y'all want that grill. Y'all like, hurry up, Reeves. I want that grill. All right, here we go. Verse 8. But Noah found favor in the Lord. Man, wouldn't that be great that it said about you that you found favor in the Lord? This is the account of Noah and his family. Why? Because they want us to see this is not just about Noah, it's his family and how a great dad he was. Noah was a righteous man, the only blameless person living on earth at that time. And he walked close fellowship with God. Noah was the father of three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now God saw that the earth had become corrupt and was filled with violence. God observed all the corruption in the world, for everyone on earth was corrupt. So God said to Noah, I have decided to destroy all living creatures, for they have filled the earth with violence. So yes, I will wipe them out along with the earth. And then the Bible goes on to tell everything that happens. That he goes and he says, here's how big the boat is. Here's how many floors I want on it. Here's where I want the windows. Here's where I want you to put the door. And I want you to get busy. I want you to build this because I'm going to cause it to rain. And it's going to flood. And I'm going to wipe out everything on the planet. Noah, go. You got it? All right, God, let's do this. And then the Bible says in verse 22, don't miss this one. This is very important. It says this. So Noah did everything exactly, crossed every T, dotted every I, exactly as God had commanded him to do. So today I have 5 questions I want you to ask yourselves, dads specifically. If you're not a dad, listen, this applies to you. Just think of it as a Christian. But I want to speak specifically to dads. I got 5 questions I want you to ask yourself and examine your heart to see if you're a weird dad. All right? If you're becoming a weird dad or you want to be a strong dad. Now, here's something I know about men. Here's something I know about dads. You don't take notes. I know that. I see that. You don't take notes. So look at your spouse sitting beside you or pay your kid and say, take some notes for me because dad needs to talk about this night when I'm flipping the burgers on my new grill, okay? So I need to know if I'm a weird dad. Don't look at him and say, dad, you're already weird. Take some notes for him because listen, we want to become the dads that God has called us to be. So here we go. Here's the first question I want you to ask every one of you, whether you're watching online or you're in the house, I want you to ask yourself this question. Am I righteous? Am I righteous? That's a big word. I don't feel righteous, right? See, when I think of that word righteous, I immediately go like Finding Nemo and the turtle go, righteous, man. You know, I don't know. That's just, you got to pray for your pastor because that's just where my mind goes, man, when I'm up here preaching like that. You know, am I righteous? The Bible says in verse 9, Noah was a righteous man. Now, what does it mean to be righteous? I think it's fascinating. It's the first place in the Bible, first place in humanity, that we find the word righteous in the Bible, and it describes Noah. He was a righteous man. What in the world does it mean to be righteous? Well, in its simpler form, the simplest form, means to be right with God. That I am right with God. If I'm righteous, I am right with God. Now, here's the question. What makes me right with God? Well, let me help and unpack that. Going to church is not what makes you right with God. Tithing don't make you right with God. Reading your Bible is not what makes you right with God. Saying a prayer doesn't make you right with God. Trying to do your best, live your best, and do your best does not make you right with God. What Jesus did on the cross is the only thing that can make you right with God. And the Bible says if we will put our faith and trust in Jesus and the great work he did on the cross, that makes me right with God. That he imputes, it's a big theological term, he imputes his righteousness to me. And there's a positional righteousness I have when I give my life to Jesus. So when I give my life to Jesus, he gets rid of the old, he places me in the family of God. And I am now so secure in the family of God, the Bible says I'm in Jesus' hand and Jesus is in the Father's hand. And I've been joint heirs with Jesus. I'm placed in the family. I'm adopted in the family. I'm saved by the blood. I have been stained by his grace. And there's nothing can ever undo that. So positionally, I am in Christ, which makes me righteous. So that means when God looks at me, he doesn't see me and my sin. I've now been clothed with Jesus. And now he sees me as his son. Can I get an amen? That's good news. So I am positionally righteous because of my position in the family. I'm in Christ. But I don't know about you, but after I gave my life to Jesus September the 2nd, 1997, I still blow it. I still sin. So if I am positionally so righteous, why do I still blow it? Why do I still mess up? I believe that's what John was trying to tell us in 1 John, I believe it was in chapter 30. He was sitting here and saying this. He says, anyone who does not practice righteousness is not from God. So if I am righteous in Christ, in fact, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians, he made him who knew no sin, who became sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God. How do I practice righteousness? Positionally, I'm saved. I'm in the family. I'm going to heaven. Hallelujah. But man, I still blow it. And I still make mistakes. So how do I practice righteousness? And what does that look like? Well, see, I believe that's also why 1 John 1:9 tells us if we will confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I don't confess my sins after I'm saved to keep me saved. I'm positioned in the family. I've been bought with the blood. I am in the family. So when I sin, I don't confess it to keep me saved. I confess it to restore my fellowship with the Father. Because when you sin, it breaks the fellowship with your Father. So the Bible goes and says, positionally you're righteous, but you need to practice righteousness by living right with God, by living right according to the scripture. So I hope we understand it. So the question says, am I righteous? Which means this, here's a question. Am I right with God this morning? Positionally, am I right with God? Am I in the family? I gave my life to Jesus. I've been saved. I'm secure in the family. But am I living righteous? Practically, daily. Am I living right? Ask yourself that question. Am I righteous? Here's the second question. Am I blameless? Am I blameless? Verse 9 says, the only blameless person living on the earth. You think your workplace is bad, right? Like, I'm the only Christian at school, man. Like, I'm the only person Christian in my workplace. I'm the only Christian in my family. He's the only one on the planet. The only blameless person at this time, the Bible tells us, on the planet. Are you kidding me? You think your place is corrupt? This is so corrupt that God's like, I just want to start over. Let's destroy the earth. What? I mean, and he walks blameless? What does it mean to be blameless? Well, it doesn't mean to be sinless, because Noah wasn't perfect. He wasn't sinless. What does it mean to be blameless? See, Noah not only, watch this, lived right before God, he lived right before others. And the blameless means moral integrity. It means moral conduct. It means I'm free of all guilt from how I live. I have no guilt for how I live because I know I'm living blameless. Not sinless, but blameless before the Lord. That word blameless we talked about too, or moral integrity, we talked about a long time ago. If you remember, integrity comes from a math term, integer. Where's my math people at? Where's my math people at? Okay, there's only three of you. That's why. People love math, right? Math people, right? There's the word integer. Integer means you cannot be divided into. Integer means it's a whole. You can't separate. You can't compartmentalize it. That's where we get our word integrity. Integrity means whole. I'm the same person on stage as I am at my house, as I am at Cracker Barrel, as I am at a ball game, or if I go to Walmart. That's a person of integrity. The opposite of that is someone who's not whole. They're divisive. They're two-faced. They got multiple masks. I put my church face on because I got donuts today. Let's smile. Come on, right? I got my church face on. And then I got my game face on, or your NASCAR face, whatever you want, you redneck. You got your NASCAR face on, right? And then you got your work. Tomorrow's work on Monday. I got to put my work face on. Like, son is like, yeah, love Jesus, work. I hate the world, right? You got to put your work face. And then you put your kid's face on and your family face on. You know what that's called? Hypocrite. That's what it means to be a hypocrite. Multiple face, multiple mask. You're not the same person as you are all the time. Integrity is you get what you get. It's me. Wherever I go, it's just me. And the Bible says he was blameless, which he was nowhere, everywhere he went. He didn't have to put any multiple masks. He wasn't a hypocrite. So ask yourself, am I blameless? How does the people see you acting? Dads at work, at church, and your family. Are you living a life that draws people to Jesus or pushes people away from Jesus by how you live? Am I walking blameless before other people? So here what we know, Noah was righteous, he was blameless. Here's the third question. Am I walking with God? Are you walking with God this morning? It goes on and says in verse 9, it says, he walked in close, look at the word, fellowship. He fellowshipped with God. Now, I think this is fascinating. We should do some ancestry.com stuff right here. Noah's dad was Lamech. Lamech's dad was Methuselah. And Methuselah was Enoch. And you remember several weeks ago, we talked about Enoch that said he walked with God, and he walked with God so much that God just called him on up to heaven and went with him. Isn't it funny now? His great-grandkid is now walking with God. How did he learn to do that? It's because parenting is not only about here today, it's about the generations to come. And Noah learned to walk with God because his great-granddaddy walked with God, and it was passed on to the generations. How you walk with God. So let me ask you, dads, are we walking with God this morning? Let me ask you, church, are you walking with God this morning? What does it mean to walk with God? Well, if I'm going to walk with him, I need to know him. Do you know him? And I'm not talking about intellectual knowledge. I'm talking about a heart knowledge. Like, I mean, heart transformation. I know him, and he knows me. If I'm going to walk with God, I am going to seek after him. Are you seeking after Jesus? You will worship what you want. And if you want that paycheck, and if you want that accolades, and you want that promotion, and you want that prestige, and you want that stuff, you will worship that. But if you want Jesus, you'll worship him. It's weird for a dad to worship Jesus today. And I want to be weird. I want to become, could you imagine Noah? People thought he was weird. Well, there you go. Could you imagine what everybody said about him on topics? Are you kidding me? On Facebook? He's weird. He said he heard from God and building a boat in the desert. It's not even raining. Weirdo. But he says, I'm going to walk with God so close that, listen, I'm going to listen to him and do whatever he tells me to do. Dad, listen, one of the greatest things we can do as followers of Jesus is to listen to him and do whatever he tells us to do. And Dad, I believe that starts with us. To change our family trees and change the generation to come. If I'm going to follow him, I'm going to talk to him, right? That's the mission of our church, is to help you follow Jesus, help me follow Jesus so we can experience an abundant life, a full life, a better life than you ever dreamed of, a John 10:10 life. That's our mission. Because it's not just about us, it's even for the generations to come. So let me ask you, church, let me ask you if you're watching online, am I walking with God this morning? Or am I just showing up? God wants you to walk with him. He wants you to listen to him and talk to him and follow him. Here's my fourth question. Am I obeying God fully? Am I obeying God fully? I I want you to think about this. Noah, I want you to build a boat. Here's the size of it. It's going to be this big. It's going to be this tall, this wide. Here's the levels I want. Here's what I want, the windows, the doors, and all this stuff. Here's how I want it. And the Bible says in verse 22, Noah did everything exactly as God told him to do. He crossed every T, he dotted every I. He didn't go, you know, God, I think I know how to raise my family, and I think I understand my career better than you, so I'm going to do what I want to do over here. No, I'm going to do exactly obey you fully. God, I think I know how to manage my own finances. I know how to manage. Let me keep my house in order. You know, thank you for saving me. Thank you for going to get me to heaven. I now don't have to go to hell, but let me run my family. Let me run my career. Let me handle my money. I got this. I don't need you. No, he obeyed God fully. Whatever God said, he fully obeyed him. And that makes him weird because you don't see that today most often. Especially guys, we want what we want, when we want it, how we want to do it, right? Because we're the man. He's like, wait, no, wait, I want you to be a strong dad. I want you to set the example. I want you to obey me fully. So let me ask you, has God asked you to do something that you've not done yet? Is there something God's asked you to do that you haven't done? Maybe God's asked you to share your story, but you don't want to share your story. Maybe you're a carpenter or you're a construction kind of guy, and God tells you to share your faith. You're like, God, I can't share my faith. They think I'm weird. Right? Now, there's a way to do it. You would be weird. You're going, let me tell you something, buddy. You're going to hell. You know what I'm saying? All right, man, there's a tactic to it, right? To share your story with people. Because it could be, it's true, but I shared with somebody the other day, said, what do you mean by tact? Tact is, how do you make a point without making an enemy? Because you're never going to win your enemies to Jesus. How do you love them? I like to say it like this. How do you love the hell out of them? Literally. How do you do that? So they see you and go, man, you're just different, man. You're weird. Yeah, let me tell you why. And tell them and point them to Jesus. Are you obeying God fully? Has God told you to share your faith with someone? You're not sure your faith. Has God told you to invite someone to church, but you're like, I don't know if I should invite them to church. I feel like that God has called some of you dads, and he's already commanded you to be baptized, but you're embarrassed about it. You're like, I just don't know. I'm a man. I'm a grown man, and we got a baptism next week. One of the greatest. In fact, you've already been commanded to be baptized. Set the example. And you're like, well, people think it might be strange or weird. Are you kidding me? We're going to cheer you on. And I think that some of you here, you need to take that next step. He's already commanded you to do that. Are we obeying God fully and doing everything he's called us to do? So I need to ask you, examine your heart. God, is there anything you've asked me to do that I've not done? Maybe he's told you to forgive someone, but it's hard to forgive them. And he knows you should forgive them, but I just don't know. They hurt me. They wronged me. They walked out on me. Ugh. And God's like, are you going to obey me fully? Because I'm great as your reward. I've got so much. I've got so much great stuff for you. If you'll just follow me and obey me. See, the reason why God found favor on Noah is because he was right with him. He lived right before others. He obeyed God fully, and he walked with him. That same thing is for us today. It's no different. You think about it was hard walking with God in a corrupt world today. Noah did that. Everything was corrupt, and he still made time to walk with God. He still made time to live a blameless life. He still did exactly everything that God had called him to do. So what is it that God's called you to do that you're just kind of like, I just don't know yet? Because I believe on the other side of your obedience is such a great reward that he wants to show you. If you'll just take that step of faith and go, would you come to church with me? Hey, I want to share my story with you. Because I believe God wants to use you, especially dads, in an unbelievable way to change the next generation. And here's my fifth and final question. Am I trusting God completely? Am I trusting him completely? Dads, do we really truly trust him completely? Can we trust him with some areas of our life but not the other areas of our life? Am I really trusting him completely? Now, could you imagine this? Okay, God, I will go and I will build your boat. Years, decades upon decades have passed. Still no rain. Working on a boat. You don't think it was weird? Did you hear about the guy in town building a boat? I know it's strange, it's crazy. A decade or two have passed. Wow. They're making pretty good legway here. He's moving pretty good on this boat. He's never going to finish it. It's never going to rain, Noah. What are you thinking? Like, imagine his kids coming up to him and says, Dad, what's going on? Son, trust me. I heard from the Lord. Just trust me. God said so. Just trust me. Because I trust him completely. And then guess what happens? It begins to rain. If you ever want to hold a sign up, I told you so. That would be the one, right? On the bow of the boat. Told you so. Told you so. So it begins to rain. And they're like, oh, snap, Dad. Here it goes. You get the animals on the ark. His family goes on the ark. I don't have time to jump into all this, but I think it's fascinating. Most people don't even notice this when they read through this. But the Bible says that God shut the door. And I always ponder that. It didn't say Noah shut the door. It didn't say one of Noah's kids shut the door. It didn't say one of the donkeys came by and kicked the door and shut the door. It didn't say none of that. It says God shut the door. And I always thought about that. I wonder, is it maybe because God was loved Noah so much so he wouldn't have to have the consciousness of the world that he shut the door and wouldn't let nobody else in? Because I promise you this. I promise you, the Bible doesn't say this, but I guarantee you people try to get on that boat. But God shut the door. And Peter says that the flood and the boat was actually kind of like a picture of judgment and deliverance, of salvation. But I'm here to tell you there's going to come a day when God's going to shut the door again, and it's going to be too late. That's why every single Sunday, I beg you to give your life to Jesus. And one of the biggest lies from the enemy is, I don't worry about it, especially the men. You've got time. Live your life. Get your kids out of the house. Do good. Work on that job. Promote you to that career. Make that money. You got time for church. You can serve later. You can teach your kids about the Bible later. Let the church do it. Let your wife do it. And you keep putting this decision off. But I'm here to tell you, sir, you are not promised tomorrow. That's why the Bible says today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. Today is. And like I do every single week, I beg you, dads, the greatest thing you could ever do for yourself and your family is to give your life to Jesus. To give your life to Jesus. Would that just be weird? That's the greatest decision you ever make. And then all of a sudden, guess what happens? It rains for 40 days and 40 nights. Now you're on the boat trusting God. You're going to stop the rain. Okay, God, there's enough rain, man. You're going to stop the rain? And then the rain stops. And then you go look out the window, and now there's no land. Are we going to float forever? I mean, how are we going to do this? But he still trusted that God's provision would come to pass. And it did. And we know the rest of the story. God gives his rainbow, sets his covenant, says, I'm not ever going to flood the earth again. It's a crazy, great story that we learn all the time, usually in Sunday school or when we're a kid. But if you'll fast forward thousands of years later, all the way to Hebrews chapter 11, in the Hall of Fame of Faith, with Moses and all these great guys. Guess whose name is found right there? Noah. Listen to what it says in Hebrews 11, 6. And it's impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to God, wants to come to him, you must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. And it was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family. See, we always think about Noah and the construction worker and the ark and the flood and the rain, but you don't see Noah as the dad, Noah as the protector, Noah as the family man. But because he listened to Jesus and did what he told him to do, it saved his family. And that's the greatest things we can do, Dad, is listen to Jesus and do what he tells us to do and lead our families towards him. It's the greatest thing that we can do. It says, by faith, Noah built a large boat that saved his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about things he had never seen before. He'd never seen this before, but God said, you got to trust me. And he trusted God completely. Man, I just don't know, man, if I really want to be that kind of weird, you know? But I'm here to tell you what, if you will live right before God, if you will live right before others, if you will walk with Jesus, obey him fully, and trust him completely, the world may see you as weird, but God sees you as a weapon. And he wants to use you to change your family tree, to change your workplace, to change your school. God can use you if you'll just believe that he can. and he will. So come on, dads, let's be weird dads. Let's become strong dads that changes the generations to come, that changes our family tree, that looks back and says, let me tell you something about great-grandpa Daniel. He walked with God. And wouldn't it be great to see your great-grandkids someday and hear that they are walking with God because of your legacy that you left behind? I'm going to ask if you would just to bow your heads just for a moment. You know, I'm so grateful that you're here this morning. And that message applies to you whether you're dad or not. I'm so thankful you tuned in to watch this online. And I'm just going to trust the Lord is speaking to you. The greatest decision you can make today is to give your life to Jesus. And when you do, you know what that means? Positionally, you become right with God into the family of God. Is that not amazing? Is that not wonderful? It's not because of our good works, because we're not good enough. It's not because I attended church this morning, because it's not about works. It's about the great work he did on the cross for you and for me. And so you may intellectually know about God, but have you let him transform your heart? The Bible says, if we will call upon the name of the Lord, we will be saved. If we will confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And this morning that I could tell where three people already gave their life to Jesus. And today, if that's you and you said, "Ready, I'm ready to give my life to Jesus," especially if you're a dad, this is the best day ever to say, "I want to give my life to Jesus." I'm going to ask you to pray with me. I say this every Sunday, saying a prayer don't save you, but your lips can proclaim what your heart declares. And if your heart declares that Jesus Christ is Lord, then let it be today that your lips proclaim it. So if you want to give your life to Jesus, I just want you to pray with me. Say, "Jesus, I need you. I believe you came for me. I believe you died for me. I believe you got up out of the grave for me. And today I turn from my sin and I turn to you. I hope that you pray you come into my life and help me live for you all the days of my life." Now, if that's you, and you pray that with me, the Bible says this, that you're now positionally in Christ because you gave your life to him. And if that's you, I just want to celebrate with you like I did in the first service. If that's you and you pray with me, I just want you, no matter who you are, I want you to get your hand up. If you're online watching, you can tell somebody right now, get your hand up, say, "Pastor, I pray with you." Come on. We already had people in the first service. Anybody else? That today I prayed with you. Come on, there you go. Anybody else? Today I'm giving my life to Jesus. Awesome. Praise the Lord, man. God's doing some great things to you, Better Life Church. And I just pray that we would just walk with him, live right before others, obey him, trust him, follow him, and I'm telling you what, the best is yet to come. God's going to use you guys to change this entire region that has the power to change the world. I feel it in my bones. He's going to do something great if you'll just keep following after him. So come on, stand your feet. Let me pray for us. God, thank you so much for saving people this morning. We rejoice. We're grateful. We are thankful. And God, we believe the best is yet to come. God, thank you so much for what you did today. It's your name we ask and pray. Come on, let's sing.
Thank you for joining us online today. If while watching this message, you were led to take a next step or made the decision to start following Jesus, we would love to celebrate with you. You can let us know on our website at betterlife.church/next-steps. To stay connected throughout the week, download the Better Life app, available on any major platform. Lastly, if you're interested in supporting what God is doing in this ministry, you can give online at betterlife.church/give now. We're praying that you have a great week, and we hope to see you again soon.